longtime bon vivant and man about town, Tom Thayer. He also does a good job with the broadcast on WBBM. It would the game this week is at 3:15, but the broadcast will still start at the crack of dawn. Good morning, Tom.
How you guys doing?
I got to tell you, I am
funny
just
introduction. You got to get a better introduction than that.
Well, you are a legend in our hearts and minds, and you know it is. I shrivel next to the greater person, and am embarrassed to even ask a question.
Right.
Hey, you know what's fun is this Bears season, Tom. Watching a team that starts out with all these issues and problems and looks like it can't get out of its own way, and then they somehow defeat the enemy within, and now they're on a four-game winning streak, and they're playing excellent football, and you're bringing in a team. It's the NFL. The San Diego Chargers have a lot of talent, but they've lost four in a row, and they seem to be heading in a different direction. It's just been a lot of fun watching the way this team and this season has unfolded.
Yeah, I think the patience it was the requirement, or is the requirement for Bears fans this year. With that off season the way it was, really not having any chance to develop anything verbally or just familiarity in the film room or anything like that. That slowed a lot of football teams, and I think the Bears are capitalizing on it. But I still do think the best is yet to come. There's starting to scratch the surface a little bit more aggressively with the guys they have out there, Earl Bennett and Matt, and hopefully the inclusion of Marion Barber and stuff as the season wears on. So I still think there's a ways to go before you're going to see the best of them.
Tom, one Williams down, Edwin Williams in for that Williams. What is your take on Edwin Williams? How good of a job can he do?
You know, he has all the qualifications. He's a big, strong athlete. He's versatile. He can play center. He can play guard, right side, left side. He's a really good athlete. He can pull out in space. Now you just have to see how he plays. You know, he's got an opportunity to sit to take this position here for, you know, through the rest of the regular season and hopefully into the playoffs. And the Bears offense should not skip a beat. They don't have to shrink their game plan. They don't have to change anything about their identity with Edwin in the game. So I expect the same out of the offensive line, the same out of the entire offense with Edwin in there.
And again, you know, with no offense to Chris Williams, I think Chris Williams has had an excellent season. But it's not so much the player you miss as the continuity, if that makes any sense. I just think if you lose one of your tackles, that is a very important position. Not that guard isn't one. Oh, boy, I better be careful here. But it's more about maintaining the continuity that was developed there over the 4 or 5 game stretch with all these guys in the same spot than it is about trying to replace one individual.
Exactly. You know, that's always the key element in offensive line play. You know, they're fortunate they get to play a home game so they can be in control of the snap count. And when they go on the road the next couple of weeks, they're going to go into some hostile environments that it's better that Edwin has an opportunity to grow with these guys through a game at home. And, you know, like to me in the game, you look at a guy like Roberto Garza and Jamarcus Webb, it's important for those guys to go in and have solid games both mentally and physically to make sure that they allow Edwin William to ease into it. And then once he gets into a comfort zone, you know, it's full go. But Roberto has been an important part of the success of the offensive line and this offense all season. And it's just another opportunity for him to allow Edwin to develop at that position.
Hey, Tom, after what we saw last night in Denver with the Jets coming in there, everybody thought the Jets would just come in and crush them. Any chance that there's a letdown here, a trap game for the Bears?
No, you know, trap games aren't going to happen. I think there's too much maturity on this roster to allow these guys to come out of the locker room and be so flat that they can't even, you know, get in there and compete. Excuse me. So, you know, and you have to have a lot of respect for each opponent. You know, at San Diego, boom. You know, for Phillip Rivers is very challenging. He's a big, strong, confident quarterback who's going to sit in the pocket. He's got some big receivers. He's got relief weapons and Antonio Gates. So I think it's going to be a really challenging game for the defense because it's a different threat that Michael Vick was 2 weeks ago, what Stafford was last week, and what Phillip Rivers it will be this week. They're entirely different quarterbacks.
My partner here, Dustin Rhodes, said something yesterday that ended up being quite controversial. He said that he thought while Brian Urlacher was an excellent player and a very good player, he wasn't sure he belonged in the Hall of Fame. He said he's not a Hall of Fame player. And I think, you know, that upset a lot of people, but and it was that's legitimately Dustin. I mean, that's how the guy rolls. He's not saying stuff to upset people. But going and looking it up, I believe there are 22 linebackers in the Hall of Fame. You know, I think the Bears obviously have three middle linebackers that have made the Hall of Fame, and so we maybe look at that position and think that the Hall of Fame is filled with those guys. It really isn't. And, you know, there's also a story today in the paper, Sean Jensen talking again about the idea of Devin Hester in the Hall of Fame. And again, there are none of those guys in the Hall of Fame. There aren't return guys in the Hall of Fame. You know, you have a friend in Jay Hilgenberg who had, I believe, what, like 10 Pro Bowls, 9, 10, 8, whatever it was?
Seven consecutive All Pros also, which is a big deal. Probably better than Pro Bowl, more higher status.
And Tom, he's not in the Hall of Fame, and there aren't a ton of centers in the Hall of Fame. There are, for whatever reason, I think part of it, pass rushers get in the Hall of Fame. If you look at these linebackers, five or six of those guys are pass rushers, and they're not really linebackers. It's just, I don't think people understand the difficulty in getting into a Hall of Fame, how small the Pro Football Hall of Fame is, and how, you know, guys who have had unbelievable careers can sometimes be on the outside looking in. Now, I believe Urlacher will get there, but I just wonder if you could comment on the guys you know in the Hall of Fame and what it takes to make it.
Yeah, you know, the one thing, the unique quality that when I look at the Chicago Bears who are in the Hall of Fame, they had all of their busts at a Chicago Bear event. I was looking at these guys, and one thing about them is every single Chicago Bear that's in there is a three-down player, and their greatness is first, second, third down. They're not just a specialist. This is a side note for Brian, not including Devin Hester. Mm-hmm. But when I look at Brian and the way he's considered for the Hall of Fame at the end of his career, his individual statistics of interceptions and tackles and stuff are impressive enough to get him in the Hall of Fame. Longevity is another reason. But you look at the transition that Brian has made through his career, because when he came in, it was still a heavily run-influenced league. Throughout the transition, the pass attack has become a lot more involved in all offenses across the board. And he hasn't skipped a beat. He's played the position from a run stopper to a pass defender. He's played on first, second, and third down. He's not a specialist. So Brian's reached all the qualifications to be get immediate consideration for the Hall of Fame when he's done. And, you know, Devin, it'll be hard to get immediate Hall of Fame consideration because he's going to be considered as a specialist. His receiver numbers won't come into play when he's in the conversation for Hall of Fame, but it's going to be hard to keep him out because no telling what he's going to end with, ultimately when his career is over.
Hey, Tom, you know, another guy who hasn't gotten a ton of love this year but has been playing great and last week just had a spectacular game was Pina Tillman. And, you know, here's a guy, and we talk about the safety issues the Bears have had, but last week he really took Megatron out of the game. Not a ton of, you know, he was targeted like 19 or 20 times, only had 9 catches. I mean, this is finally the time that I think Pina Tillman's going to Hawaii.
Yeah, he's never made a Pro Bowl in his career. He's not really come close. I mean, there are dominant players at those positions. And, you know, Tom, and again, this is just about the history of the Bears, you know, with the middle linebacker position, the running back position. People are saying that Peanut may end up as the best corner in Bears history.
Yeah, there's definitely an argument there. Again, longevity is a huge consideration, showing up week in and week out. You know, only the guys in the locker room and the trainers and Charles knows how you feel week in and week out. And Charles is unbelievable about his preparedness week in and week out. The routine he goes through to make sure he's ready from the first play. It's very admirable because you don't see guys that put that much pregame effort into making sure they're ready. And that is one of the things of sustainability for a lot of these guys you see on the Bears, Brian and, you know, Charles, both of them. But, he's had an unbelievable career, but it's hard to get a lot of Pro Bowl consideration as a corner in the division when you had Brett Favre in the division for that long. You know, it seems like, yeah, statistically it's tough to have unbelievable years because, you know, he's been a great quarterback within your division for a period of time.
You know, Tom Silverstein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel wrote a story yesterday that was outstanding. Maybe it was the day before. And basically, you know, he talked about how people are all saying that that Aaron Rodgers is playing the position of quarterback as well as anyone ever has. And he went back and apparently broke down some numbers that Favre put up over a over like a 20-something game period. And he was he at one point in his career was playing absolutely as well statistically as Aaron Rodgers. And he was saying that a lot of the people in Green Bay maybe forget how good Favre was during that particular stretch of games. And Rodgers is now being credited as the end-all be-all. And part of that might be, and again, this is me adding to this, part of that might be that he, you know, obviously his passer rating's 30 or 40 points higher than anybody else in the league, and he's been over 110 of a rating every game. But part of it could be that there's been a slip-off in some other quarterbacks. You know, Tom Brady isn't the force he was. Peyton Manning isn't there. Brady kind of, Rodgers kind of stands alone this year. But I'm not saying he's not just absolutely unbelievable, because I think he is the league MVP and phenomenal. But whenever we're comparing eras, it gets awful difficult.
You know, yeah. You know, Brett Favre, throughout his career, he had to teach an organization how to win. He had to teach an organization, along with the head coaches they had there, how to win championships. And I think that was one thing that Brett brought there, was teaching a lot of guys how to fight until the end. And then Aaron Rodgers was able to watch him and come in and, you know, not piggyback, but be a unbelievable contributor to the success the organization has started a while ago. But in terms of Aaron Rodgers and statistics, yeah, he's, you know, being considered with a lot of the best ones along the line. But fundamentally, Aaron Rodgers is playing the position as perfectly as you can play it. The way he takes the ball, the way he sets up, his foot movement, the placement of the pass, where his accuracy, his decision-making process, the fundamental part of the game, I don't think it's ever played sharper than what Aaron Rodgers has done it. Because the guys that you talk about, from Drew Brees to Peyton Manning to Dan Marino, all of those guys have had weirdnesses about their games, and whether it's Dan Marino not being very fast, Peyton Manning being awkward, Drew Brees being too small. Aaron Rodgers has got everything and fundamentally playing it as perfectly as you can play it.
Great stuff, Tom. Enjoyed it. Just on the way out, who's going to win the game?
You know my Joe. I'm a Bears fan.
Yeah, but I mean, who's going to win the game? You're also a great analyst.
The Bears are going to win.
I believe you completely. I picked the Bears 24-17, I think. All right, Tom.
All right, buddy.
That's great stuff. Tom Thayer does a great job breaking it down. Make sure you're listening to WBBM. You can do that either on AM or FM these days.
So. Starting at noon this week.
Starting at noon.
Pre-game at noon.